I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute office of President of the United States.
Joe Biden becomes the 46th U.S. President. It's Thursday, January 21st. This is a special presidential inauguration presentation of VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Also ahead, a most unusual presidential inauguration. More on the new president and vice president, inauguration history, and moving day at the White House. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Joe Biden is now president of the United States and urged unity as he spoke from the West Front of the U.S. Capitol.
Today, we celebrate the triumph not of a candidate, but of a cause. The cause of democracy. The people, the will of the people has been heard, and the will of the people has been heeded. We've learned again that democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed. So now, on this hallowed ground where just a few days ago, violence sought to shake the Capitol's very foundation, we come together as one nation, under God, indivisible, to carry out the peaceful transfer of power as we have for more than two centuries. As we look ahead in our uniquely American way, restless, bold, optimistic, and set our sights on the nation we know we can be and we must be.
Coronavirus has now killed more than 400,000 Americans and is a top priority.
Few people in our nation's history have been more challenged or found a time more challenging or difficult than the time we're in now. Once in a century virus that silently stalks the country has taken as many lives in one year as America lost in all of World War II. Millions of jobs have been lost. Hundreds of thousands of businesses closed. A cry for racial justice, some 400 years in the making, moves us. The dream of justice for all will be deferred no longer.
Biden pledged the United States would be a world leader.
We will repair our alliances and engage with the world once again. Not to meet yesterday's challenges, but today's and tomorrow's challenges. And we'll lead not merely by the example of our power, but by the power of our example.
He asked for civil disagreement.
To all those who did not support us, let me say this. Hear me out as we move forward. Take a measure of me and my heart. If you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy. That's America, the right to dissent peaceably within the guardrails of our republic is perhaps this nation's greatest strength. Yet hear me clearly, disagreement must not lead to disunion. And I pledge this to you, I will be a president for all Americans, all Americans.
And President Biden said his commitment is total.
In another January, on New Year's Day in 1863, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. When he put pen to paper, the president said, and I quote, "If my name ever goes down into history, it'll be for this act, and my whole soul is in it." My whole soul is in it. Today, on this January day, my whole soul is in this. Bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation. And I ask every American to join me in this cause.
Stay with VOA Asia for more on Inauguration Day in the United States. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit our website at voanews.com. Jack Ma, China's richest man, makes first public appearance since October. how COVID-19 is straining human rights in Thailand, Malaysia, Philippines. Ceasefire is top priority for Afghan government negotiators in Doha. Pakistan builds fence along border with Afghanistan. U.S. allies welcome Biden plan to confront China collectively. You'll find more on all these stories and much more at Facebook at VOA Asia and voanews.com. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Also in Washington is VOA Asia's own Keith Lane, our multimedia journalist who was on the National Mall for this very unusual inauguration. Keith, usually the place is bustling with people, but not today.
No, not today. Not even in the slightest, no.
The visibility was very limited as far as what anybody could have hoped to have seen this year.
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, I'm obviously credentialed, but I didn't have the Secret Service credential or the inauguration credential. So for media, it was incredibly difficult to get past the perimeter unless you have those. As a person coming down to kind of check out the inauguration, there were two areas that you could get into, but even that was limited. It was very, very, very different than any inauguration I've ever seen before.
Keith, during your travels, I'm sure you've spoken with many people. Tell me a little bit about the conversations you've had.
Early in the morning, I actually ran into a supporter of President Trump who was down here, you know, checking out the scene and was very disappointed, again, by access to what he could not get to. You know, he was sort of looking forward to the next 4 years saying, you know, it's not the guy that I like, it's not the guy that I wanted, but hopefully we can actually come together and, you know, and get some good things done for the country. I talked to another woman, actually, when I got into Black Lives Matter Plaza. She was, you know, tired of hearing the word hope. She wants to hold the administration accountable, even though she's a Biden and Harris supporter. And, you know, then I talked to another man, a young man who came out from New York. He was a vendor selling Biden and Harris T-shirts and buttons and flags. You know, his big concern was wanting to make sure that COVID got under check and that people can get back to work. So, really, everyone that I was here was, you know, some people were disappointed by the security, some people were happy for it. But at the end of the day, the message was, let's get on, let's move forward, and let's get back to where we used to be.
You always hear his name in the credits of our program. We're glad to have him on our program, Keith Lane.
Thank you, Jim.
This news from VOA Asia, citizens in Beijing and other northern cities in China are undergoing mass virus testing after a surge in COVID-19 cases. China has now recorded more than 88,500 cases since the virus was first detected in the central Chinese city of Wuhan in late 2019. You'll find more on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us on this special inauguration edition of VOA Asia. Americans have officially welcomed a new president. The last few months have been marked by acrimony and violence, with scores of Americans not able to accept Joe Biden's election victory. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti introduces us to the 78-year-old man who will now lead the United States for the next 4 years.
It took 4 days of uncertain election results until Joe Biden could announce this.
The people of this nation have spoken. They've delivered us a clear victory, a convincing victory.
Although President Donald Trump would continue to question the results, rallying his supporters in what ultimately led to a riot at the U.S. Capitol. The Capitol is now a fortress, the inauguration stage far from any spectators. In contrast to President Trump, a businessman before he took office, President-elect Biden is an experienced politician.
I'm going to say something outrageous. I know how to make government work.
Biden has held elective office for nearly 50 years. He spent 2 terms as President Barack Obama's vice president.
Mr. President, we have to put an end to this.
Prior to that, Delaware voters elected him 6 times to the U.S. Senate. A month after his first election, his wife and baby daughter were killed in a car crash that left his 2 young sons badly injured. Senator Biden would ride the Amtrak train 90 minutes from Washington to Delaware each night to be with his sons. The Wilmington Amtrak station is named after him. Biden has had two brain surgeries to repair aneurysms. In 2015, when he was vice president, his older son, Beau, died of brain cancer. Biden and his wife, Jill, a college professor, live in Wilmington, Delaware, a city of 70,000 that is now the home of the president-elect. Motorcades and sharpshooters now line the city streets. Buck Simpers is a lifelong resident.
It's not stopping anything. It's just a matter of being a bit patient and being honored at the same time.
Residents here call the president-elect their hometown boy, who likes milkshakes and cheesesteaks. Longtime associate Bob Byrd is used to seeing Biden behind the wheel of his convertible 1967 sports car.
He's got a vintage Corvette, and you'll see him driving it around every now and then. Yes, he does like to drive.
Now at age 78, the oldest president ever elected is readying for his toughest political challenge yet, steering a divided nation into the future. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
Happening now in Asia, Indonesian President Joko Widodo assures the relatives of the 62 people killed in the Sriwijaya airplane crash that they will be compensated. He toured the airport command center where tons of plane debris have been recovered by divers. Stay up to date with VOA and VOA 60. You're listening to VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. Vice President Kamala Harris made history when she became the first woman ever to win election on a presidential ticket. VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more on the path that brought Harris to the second most powerful position in the U.S. government.
A history-making moment in the United States.
While I may be the first woman in this office, I will not be the last.
The 56-year-old Harris thanking her running mate, President-elect Joe Biden, and voters for choosing her to become the first Black and Indian American woman to serve as U.S. Vice President.
You know, we've had women at the Supreme Court. We have Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House in Congress. But never in the executive branch have we had a woman vice president, and still not president. But not only that, but to have a woman of color, a woman from immigrant parents who came to this country for a better life.
The daughter of an Indian mother and a Jamaican father, Harris grew up in Oakland, California. A mural of her now on the school she was bused to as a child as part of racial integration efforts.
She's broken so many glass ceilings for so many women.
A graduate of Howard University, an all-Black college in Washington, D.C., Harris became the first Black female San Francisco prosecutor beginning in 2004 and then California Attorney General in 2010. During Black Lives Matter protests this summer, some progressives complained Harris had been a much tougher prosecutor than she let on, took contradictory positions on the death penalty, and failed to hold police accountable for misconduct.
This is a moment in time that is requiring us to fight.
Harris first made history in California when she was elected to the U.S. Senate.
It's important that people see people in power that look like themselves.
Harris, who speaks often about her role as an aunt and a stepmother, is married to lawyer Doug Emhoff, who will now be the second gentleman, an entirely new position in White House history. And while the most important job for a vice president is to be ready to step in for the president if needed, analysts say Harris may also make use of her historic firsts.
And she can be a stateswoman representing the United States, but I think she'll travel around the United States as well. to show that symbolism of what she's doing.
A new global role in the White House, celebrated halfway around the world in her ancestral village in India. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
This news from VOA Asia. China state media reports workers trapped 600 meters underground in the Hushan gold mine are receiving more medical and food supplies, including blankets, bandages, and porridge. One person in the group is reported to be in critical condition with a severe head injury. Stay up to date with VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, former Vice President Joe Biden has now moved up a notch to become the 46th President of the United States. Every 4 years, Americans pause for this peaceful transfer of power, a potent symbol of American democracy, as we hear from VOA's Dora McQuar.
I, Esther Lindu, solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute
the office of President of the United States
and will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Yeah! Inauguration Day is an affirmation of the enduring American ideal of self-government. A new leader is sworn in, gaining the power to rule by the consent of the governed.
Let us shape the hope of this day into the noblest chapter in our history.
New presidents begin their term with a speech that sets the tone for the next 4 years.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
It's a real opportunity for American renewal. It is the first time that the president introduces himself as president to the nation, and he will never have that opportunity again to do that. So it's a very important moment in American history.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Whether it's Ronald Reagan's call for limited federal power or the inauguration of America's first black president, there are times when inaugurations transcend their moment.
They live on in national memory because they speak to something more fundamental about the country and about the period in which it is passing.
It can also be a time for symbolic gestures. In 1809, James Madison made sure his entire inaugural outfit was made in America. Dwight D. Eisenhower's 1953 inaugural parade showcased America's military might.
In 1865, Lincoln's second inauguration, he invited African Americans to participate in the inaugural parade for the first time. In 1917, the second inauguration of Woodrow Wilson, women participated in the inaugural parade for the first time.
William Henry Harrison's 1841 inauguration was the most tragic. At 68, the oldest man ever elected president at the time gave the longest speech in inaugural history, over an hour, despite freezing temperatures.
He wanted to prove that he was vigorous and that he was up for the job as president.
Harrison fell ill that evening and died a month later. He remains the shortest-serving U.S. president in history. Inaugurations have grown from simple affairs into extravaganzas. The birth of television made visuals more important, but the increasing weight of the job might also play a role.
As the duties, the responsibilities of the president has grown, I think we've seen the inaugurals take on a larger than life atmosphere with the parties and the parades.
A celebration of the endurance of American democracy. Dora McQuar, VOA News, Washington.
Inauguration Day is also moving day at the White House. In just 6 hours, the departing first family is moved out, and the executive mansion is cleaned and prepped for its newest residence. Aside from the precise logistics, leaving the executive residence can be a highly emotional time. We hear from a woman who has an insider's view of moving day at the White House.
On inauguration day, it's just organized chaos. There's only about 6 hours available to you to move one family out and move another family in. Everybody is working that in those 6 hours to make the house a home for the new first family when they walk in.
Anina McBride has worked for 3 presidential administrations. She was chief of staff to First Lady Laura Bush. McBride knows firsthand what President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden can expect on day one.
When they come in to the White House for the first time after traditionally the inaugural parade, all their clothes are hanging in the closet. All of their personal photos are out in the places where they wanted them to be. It is really an amazing transfer.
The transformation is carefully choreographed. The incoming first family will have already chosen furnishings and artwork from the White House's extensive collection, which is stored in a Maryland warehouse. As incoming First Lady Michelle Obama discovered during a pre-inauguration visit with Laura Bush.
Mrs. Obama had remarked just how beautiful everything was. And so all that she knew she had to worry about for when they first moved in is having her girls' rooms, her little girls' rooms, decorated so that they would be kid-friendly.
The incoming president makes choices about how to furnish the Oval Office. Most presidents choose to use the HMS Resolute Desk, given to President Rutherford B. Hayes by Queen Victoria in the late 1800s.
Interestingly enough, the rug really has a role to play to conveying the feeling that a president has or the emotions that they have about sitting in that office. Of course, the portrait of George Washington always has its prominent place above the fireplace, and virtually no one has changed that.
It's a day when emotions can run high.
Well, the relationship between a permanent staff and a first family, and particularly if there are children involved and young children involved, they do become quite close. And it's hard for them to say goodbye.
Leaving the White House can be especially difficult for a one-term president.
You feel a sense of, I didn't get everything done the way that I had hoped. So when you're leaving after 4 years, and particularly for a first family, it is emotional. And you know, George H.W. Bush did say in his memoirs and said it hurt. It hurt. And Barbara Bush felt it too. And the family felt it deeply. But they also are incredible patriots, and they rose to the occasion.
The goodbyes can also be challenging for staff members who look after the first family's pets, like veteran staffer Dale Haney.
He is in charge of the grounds, but he also has had the responsibility of taking care of any family pet. And it's been a difficult experience for him on moving day when the pets that he's gotten so close to, who are like his family, when they leave with the first family.
Curators make sure White House valuables don't mistakenly walk out the door with an outgoing first family.
They know every single thing that belongs to the White House collection. They also know every single thing that is yours personally. And so all of these items are all individually tagged,
which helps make moving day at the White House as seamless as possible. Dora McQuarrie, VOA News, Washington.
That's our program today. We thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. Continue online with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We thank those who help bring this program to you every day. Managing Editor Diane Gao and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.